Sentinel Online, now loading the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents Social Networking with your hosts, Steve Megatron Phillips, Mike TFG1 Blanchard, Captain Optimus Solo Thompson, and Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio episode 29. This will be a two-parter episode, part one in the social networking series here. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Good day, sir.
And our super special Saiyan guest, I guess, Mike the Bitchman Dodd. Oh, I'm sorry, did I butcher that name?
Yes, you did. Hey, guys, what's up?
What's going on, dude?
I'm awake.
You're awake. Yeah, you're alive. That's good. Today we're going to be talking about the creation of MySpace and the newest social networking platform, Google Plus, and so much more. So, Mike, what the hell have you been up to?
Well, pretty much I've been doing videos for Review a Day. I've recently started doing those. Still doing Twig, as always. It's looking like I'm going to be a new contributor on a major news talk station in Toronto. I've been on there a few times. And that's pretty much all that's going on with me, trying to keep the lights on, so to speak, with all the content that I put out. And it's nice I'm actually getting paid for some of it now. So keeping busy, playing video games, living the life of the married man.
Yes. And Steve, what have you been up to?
Well, as you know, we've been doing the voice contest on BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Yes.
Myself, Kevin, and the owner of the site are the three judges, and we had 78 auditions in the initial run and then got narrowed down to 16 people for the round one, and now they're in their voting, and of course we've had to give feedback on everybody, pretty much. Which has taken a lot of time, and some people have been drama queens.
Well, you know, you are doing an American Idol-esque contest.
So oh yeah, we expected drama that. Queens. It was quite entertaining, to say the least. Plus, we've been trying to get a special interview, which I still have not been able to wrangle down all the way.
Yeah, we're still working on that. We've got a ton of interviews coming up over the next couple of months. None that we're going to reveal here. But I did two cold calls this morning, or earlier this afternoon, before we recorded this, and one was very fruitful. One I'm waiting to hear back from, and they will be just amazing. So let's go to JT from Saskatoon for the Just the Facts on MySpace.
When you talk about social networking, it's hard not to think of or mention MySpace. MySpace was once the most dominant of all social networks, ruling over Facebook and many others. But now, only 50 million people still log on, despite the site once boasting as many as twice that number. What happened to the dominance of MySpace? The origins of MySpace could be traced back to 2002 and the debut of Friendster, one of the original social networks. Several members of internet marketing firm eUniverse, including founder, chairman, and CEO Brad Greenspan, saw the huge potential of social networking and set about creating their own network. Using eUniverse resources and programmers, the project came to life under the guidance of Greenspan and the soon-to-be MySpace CEO and MySpace presidents, Chris DeWolf and Tom Anderson. The name MySpace actually came from Chris DeWolf, who had purchased the MySpace.com domain name after the dot-com bust, intending to use it for a web hosting site. And in January of 2004, MySpace opens its servers to the public. MySpace quickly became very popular amongst the online community at the time, allowing the concept of social networking to really take off. The advent of MySpace's quickly published blogs, the ability to reconnect with old friends, and the built-in customization options became industry standards, which other social network sites tried to emulate. And as if a reflection of the online gaming craze to come, Zynga, popular developer of such Facebook games as Mafia Wars, originally got its start on MySpace. However, the most significant of MySpace's contributions to social networking had to be the inclusion and popularization of downloadable music. MySpace provided a different setup for accounts belonging to musicians, which allowed the posting and downloading of their music. Many known and unknown musical acts flocked to MySpace to take advantage of this new avenue of digital distribution. MySpace even launched their own record label, MySpace Records, in 2005 in order to capitalize on the untapped talent of those posting music on their site. Popular singers like Lily Allen and Sean Kingston have attributed some of their initial success to their fans on MySpace. Eventually, the popularity and marketability of MySpace caused it to be sold to Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation in 2005. And what was the going price for the popular social networking site and its parent development company, eUniverse, at that time? Approximately $580 million. Riding high over competitors like Facebook and HiFive, MySpace held the title of most popular social network from June 2006 to April 2008, when Facebook began to overtake it in the rankings of social media websites. Since that time, MySpace has steadily declined in popularity despite several redesigns of its function and layout. Several reasons have been mentioned as to why this has happened. One such theory suggests that unlike Facebook, MySpace failed to innovate and include more ways to improve the social networking experience for its users. And a 3-year advertising deal with Google costing in excess of $900 million also contributed to MySpace's problems. Other reasons for the decline include MySpace's refusal to create a robust development platform outside of its core programmers, and the many security issues the site had in regards to vandalism and phishing. Users have started to abandon MySpace in vast numbers since 2009, and as of February of this year, MySpace only counts 37 million active members. Attempts have been made to salvage the company, including redesigning MySpace yet again into more of a social entertainment website and aligning more closely with one-time competitor Facebook. The company was also sold once again this year to an investors group comprised of interactive media company Specific Media and pop star Justin Timberlake. MySpace was once the biggest fish in the sea and now is struggling desperately to stay afloat in this new age of digital media. Can it, or more importantly, should it, be able to regain its former glory? Only time will tell.
I have to delete my account, Darren!
No, Craig!
Hey, Darren! Would you mind holding this up in front of my cubicle?
Please? All right, why?
It's so no one sees me log on to MySpace.
Oh, God, no one cares, Craig.
Craig, what are you doing behind there?
I'm masturbating!
Nice.
Darren, it's scary in here. I can't do this alone.
Craig, what is so scary about my space? Wow, this place is scary.
The distant corners of one's past always are, Darren. This is a grainy snapshot of my life from, so long ago. Looking back on who I used to be, I barely recognize myself. Who are you? Who are these strangers that float ghost-like in and out of my web browser history? Their comments are like cave paintings. Historians may never be able to understand their true meaning. MySpace pages are like the Dead Sea Scrolls of the Internet.
Jesus, Craig, this is just 10 months ago.
So young? So impressionable back then?
Who's there?
Who's there? What's going on?
Who is that?
What's going on?
It's me, Craig Blatstein. Remember?
Oh, hey! Craig!
Craig?
What's up, Craig?
Where you been, man? Hey, this guy, he used to hang out with me all the time.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, hey, Craig, check out this awesome new feature. Now your friends can post messages about what they're doing in real time.
You mean status updates, like on Facebook and Twitter?
No, it's different!
It's not the same.
It's MySpace!
Totally different.
Tell him it's different, Craig!
Tell him it's different, Craig.
Stop it, MySpace! Shut up! It's not different! It's never different!
Holy shit!
Whoa, Craig, what the hell are you doing?
I have to delete my account, Darren!
No, Craig!
No!
Please!
Why?
You're gonna kill MySpace?
This morning, when I was getting coffee, it was terrible!
MySpace, the
That's so old. I deleted my account like 6 months ago.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Craig used to be the MySpace king. Hey, Craig, you don't still use your MySpace account, do you?
What? MySpace? No, it's stupid. I deleted my account like forever ago, right? MySpace. But I didn't delete my account because I loved you too much. Oh, God.
You know, I used to be the way of the future. I had my whole life ahead of me. But then Tom sold me out to Rupert Murdoch for $50 million. Rupert did things to me. I was never the same. And now my time has come. And if I'm going to be deleted, it's gotta be by you. You signed up for me. You customized me. You kill me.
No, I can't.
Do it.
I can't. Please don't make
do
me.
Do it.
I can't. Don't make me. No!
The way of the future.
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 When I grow up, I'm gonna be the biggest website in the world. In the world. In the world. In the
world. Thank you for that rousing Just the Facts, JT. Yeah, MySpace was my first experience was so actually I originally signed up for it because I thought it was one of those stupid dating sites at the time.
Mike, wow. I just can't picture you using a dating website. No, I'm not trolling you when I say that. I just can't see it. Anyway, just an observational thing. That's
right. All. Yeah. This part has been edited. You'll never know what was here.
I thought that was good. Anyway, I think MySpace was actually my second social network, or actually maybe even my third. Actually, my first one was the spark.com, which I used coming out of high school back in 2000-something, and it was a website I used to use for a feature called Spark Notes. If you needed to read a book and didn't fucking feel like it, just go there. And
I got in trouble with that site.
They tried to catch me, but I am a master of bullshit. And,
well,
they
did catch me.
That's because you're a big purple dinosaur, man. But
I didn't go there, Steve. That wasn't me.
I love you, man. But I used it for the book Wuthering Heights, and there was this huge community there of people that would just start talking. I actually met several girlfriends off that website, so that was pretty awesome. And then I made the jump randomly to Hot or Not for years, and then right. I tried...
I don't even see that as a social network.
It was, in a sense.
It's anywhere where people really gather. It was just not the main functionality of that website. And then I went to Campus Kiss... And then I landed on MySpace. My God, I guess I've been doing this social networking thing for a really long-ass time. I mean, all right, guys. Well, I guess because we see MySpace as the prototypical, the progenitor of social networking, do you guys consider news groups to be a form of social networking too?
I would say yes to an extent because it did kind of spawn forums from it. And then from there, you get the, you know, what we call social networking now. And then you got things like WordPress, which kind of integrate the social networking into the website instead of kind of eliminating the news groups and forums altogether.
Now, did anybody here actually hang out in news groups back in the 1990s?
No, I didn't.
Myself, I didn't hang out in news groups. I did hang out in a shit ton of forums. Besides forums, I think MySpace kind of, in a sense, gets the number one spot as far as the typical, you know, modern social networking site. Even though, like you were saying, Dodd, that there's a bunch before it that actually kind of set things in motion.
I think it's the one that set the bar in terms of integrating usability and high profileness. Because I remember when MySpace was absolutely huge. When I was in college, first year back in 2006, everybody was talking about it. And I remember sitting in one of the Mac Labs at Niagara College with a girl I knew named Kayla. And just the amount of social networking pizzazz she brought to it. She had so many friends, so many comments on her Facebook, or not on her Facebook, on her MySpace. I was utterly blown away by it. And there were people I knew through the college who were making money off of customizing people's MySpace profiles. I mean, I was really surprised just how big this thing was. I mean, I had a MySpace profile for probably a year and a half, but I only really used it for a year. Because then I jumped on Facebook in 2007. I think I was still in first year, but I was in second semester at college. And I think 2007 was, I think, at the height of the MySpace popularity because it was integrated with, like, all the music stuff. Actually, that's how I found one of my favorite bands was through MySpace. I found, what were they called? Guys Night, who did the Die Hard song,
yeah.
And I think that's how they got discovered by Fox, was through MySpace, or it was through YouTube or something like that. So I've talked enough. So you guys share memories.
A lot of people have gotten discovered through MySpace, and an extension of that, YouTube as well, but this isn't about YouTube. We've already done an episode on YouTube. You know, when I first joined up, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll find these friends, I'll find those friends. And then, of course, you know, in real life, when I actually had a real life back then, you know, people that I knew in real life were saying, oh, I have a MySpace page, you know, friend this, friend that. And I tried to start using it to promote my writing and promote at the time, mid-2007, I got my first book of poetry published. So I just started using the blog feature on MySpace, and that was really it. And then I think after a while, it just kind of got too bizarre for me, and I just stopped using it. I don't know. It was just too weird. I mean, the growth spurt that it went through between, like, late 2007, mid 2008, it was just, it had changed so much, and it was just too weird for me anymore.
I don't even know why MySpace had such a rapid decline. I mean, I've done some of the reading on this, and evidently they changed a lot of things on their back end. And like I was mentioning previously, people were customizing their pages, et cetera, et cetera. But when people started messing with the code of MySpace, it started slowing things down. I remember MySpace would load, like, on a crawl, and I remember my college's connection used to fly, and MySpace would just chug and chug and chug. Yeah. And I don't know why they bothered to do all the back end stuff. I mean, I'm glad that they did to give us profile customization to do all the things that we wanted to do, but I think it was maybe too much at the time. Like, it was just like opening the floodgates of all these people that wanted to start customizing things. But when you think about it, when MySpace did that, that's sort of what led to all the customization options you'd get in all the different social networks now. I mean, to a lesser extent, Facebook, but it opened up application programming. Mm-hmm. It opened up so many possibilities to expand the realm of what social networking could be. And that's what I always really found amazing about it. But I think the problem is it grew too rapidly. It grew unchecked, which is what I think partially led to its decline.
Yeah. Steve, what are your experiences with MySpace?
Well, to go back another step, I actually started with, besides like forums and all that, I actually started with LiveJournal. Back when that was
I had one of those for 5 years. I'm a loser. Sorry.
It still exists
because I can still get to my page. As bad as that is. But I wanted it to be separate from my MySpace, so I never imported it. My MySpace, I kind of started on a whim. I didn't really know what I was doing on it so much. And then I had a bunch of random people I didn't know contacting me, and I think it kind of weirded me out to begin with, so I kind of took a step back to begin with. And I eventually went back to it, and I didn't like how everything was so custom, and then you go to people's pages, and they'd be like 20 pages long if you were to print it. And it seemed like overly cluttered. It just seemed like a mess, and then there was constantly issues with it loading.
Yeah.
And I got sick of it. And so I eventually moved on.
Yeah, my one issue with MySpace's customization, especially for the profile pages, oh my god, people need to pick a fucking color scheme that you can actually read their fucking pages. There are some chicks that I knew on MySpace that almost every single one of them had a pink, white, and red layout. There was a pink background, white text, and bright red text everywhere, and I couldn't read the shit for nothing.
My problem is was with all the custom flash animations.
Oh god,
so yeah. You'd have everything just flashing and it was just so busy. It was distracting to read anything. Plus they'd have all these things that would just automatically load, be it music or slideshows or something. It just became too much, and a lot of computers that I was using at the time just couldn't process it all, and more often than not my computer would lock up.
By the time I stopped using, like, I know I was on, and we'll get to this in the part two episode, but I think I joined Twitter before I joined Facebook, but by the time I was just so fed up with MySpace before I even joined either one of those networks, the only time I would ever check it is to get band updates. I would follow my favorite bands on there. I followed Nickelback on there, 12 Stones, Theory of a Dead Man. All of my favorite bands, Hall & Oates, you know, stuff like that. I would only check MySpace because that's where all the bands were. It turned into MySpace was for artists and bands. That's really what it turned into. And that's the only reason why I would ever go back is because at that time, that was the only place that artists and bands were getting their stuff out there. Like if I wanted to hear the new Nickelback track, they would put it up on their player for fans to hear it. You know, this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And just after a while, I just stopped caring.
See, that's something I think MySpace totally had right the first time, is right. Accessibility to bands. One of our people on Twig, Pierce the Punk Dirks, has had a lot, like, because he's a musician on the side, and he has an independent group, which is, as far as I know, just himself, called Shoot the Head, and he used to put his singles up on MySpace, and it's a wonderful platform for artists. I mean, like you, Mike, I used to follow my favorite bands. I'd follow CKY, I'd follow him, I'd follow the Tragically Hip and bands like that on there, which I thought it was just so cool, the fact that you could interact with the band, you could ask questions on there. Plus, one of the cool things MySpace did, and I think this is something that only recently became a thing on Facebook and Twitter, was playing secret shows.
Yep.
And and I just remember them saying, hey guys, come here on this date, we're gonna play a show, 200 people, come out and check us out. Or movies would have them, check out I Know What You Did Last Summer / MySpace or some shit like that. And you could get exclusive deals. I remember video games used to have MySpace profiles where you could get custom things. I remember even fictional characters, like you could visit the Burger King's MySpace and get here, download a coupon for a free Whopper, just give me your MySpace URL. It was a wonderful marketing tool. And it's amazing how much we owe MySpace to the evolution of how social networking has now come to now. I mean, looking at Twitter, I mean, it was a big deal when MySpace integrated status updates and updating your moods and everything. I don't know. It's so interesting to look back. I mean, like we were talking about how we've had older things like news groups. We've had websites like Campus Kiss and all that shit. And you kind of look at MySpace as it was kind of like the first jet plane of the social networking thing, whereas I guess the old BBSs and forum groups like that were like the Wright brothers, whereas MySpace, hey, we got a fully functioning jet, and then they started throwing the bling on it.
Yep. Once they started throwing the bling on it, it went from a B-52 bomber to, you know, whatever, like, a cargo plane is. Like, the slowest thing on Earth.
And they tried to innovate, and I don't think they had the right people in the right positions, or maybe they just let it run unchecked, because their success was so wild. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing about MySpace or people. Like, think about how many cartoons we watch. I mean, I know The Simpsons have referenced it rather, the Family Guy, South Park, etc. Like, say, hey, check out my MySpace. Or think back to the movie Superbad. That came out in 2008, as far as I remember. Do you remember the one awkward guy saying, hey, guys, let's be friends on MySpace, which means that movie was filmed a year beforehand.
Yeah.
So it was part of the popular culture back then. And it's just, like I said, it's weird to see just how quickly it just took a nosedive. Because this thing, I honestly believe in some ways it should still be around. But the problem is they've tried to copy Facebook so much. They're trying to integrate Twitter. And they've even said we were no longer competing. That's because you're not competing at all. I mean, these guys had a workforce of some almost 2,000 guys. Yeah. Now they've got, what, something like 200 maybe?
Yeah. It's and I hate to compare it to this, but MySpace is almost what happened with Sega when making consoles. It just died. Like, Sega's great for third-party games now, and they still produce games and stuff like that. But after Dreamcast, because of all that stuff that happened with Dreamcast, Sega stopped making consoles. That's the same thing with MySpace. You know, you have Facebook and Twitter and everything else going, well, Facebook finally went public. You know, you have all that, and such a much better layout on those types of sites that MySpace just became an irrelevant joke at this point.
Yeah, it became obsolete so quickly, but so many people that were working for MySpace have now moved on to different companies like Facebook, like Zynga, and they've led a lot of innovations in technology. But there's one thing that MySpace, it has a darker legacy than I think a lot of people realize. One of the things that's entered the popular culture, and I guess our culture in general now, is MySpace made it really easy to cyberbully people. And one of the things I came across in my research for this is people have died because of MySpace. Like, there was a 13-year-old girl a couple years ago named Megan Meyer. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. And she kept getting all these trolling messages from this other woman and her daughter pretending to be a boy that liked her because they thought she was spreading bullshit about her. And the last message that was sent on MySpace was, "You're the kind of boy a girl could kill herself over." 20 minutes later, she was hanging by her neck in a closet. And that's something that MySpace drew a lot of heat for, was the controversy over privacy and child pornography, because there was a lot of registered sex offenders using this to troll for girls, and some of them unfortunately succeeded. And that's something that social networking has, the very dark side. Like, anything that we can use to connect and do for hacktivism or activism in general can be turned into something just dark and fucked up. Because of MySpace, now we have cyber stalking laws passed in several states. People are now more aware of cyberbullying as a crime. And I think there was something passed in your U.S. Congress regarding internet bullying and all that stuff. So
I think there was as well.
Yeah. Like, so I'm really glad MySpace has led to changes in law. But at the same time, that law had to be paved with, you know, a road of blood, so to speak, which is really unfortunate. Now, did you guys ever encounter any cyberbullying while using MySpace? I got a few unusual messages here and there.
I never did, because at the time I never, like, I would check it maybe twice, two or three times a day. But after that two or three times, I was done. I didn't care.
I used it early on in the Twig days as a haven to connect with fans. And I'd get the odd, really threatening message. They're like, hey, you fat fuck, and you're not allowed to do this, that, and the other thing. But it never grew into anything major. But I knew several girls where they'd post pictures of themselves. And you know how some girls are. Like, you know, they want to look pretty, and that's fine, and that's their right. But they'd get profile messages where people basically trying to cyber them or whatever. But I guess that's the kind of threat, or that's the kind of risk you take putting yourself out there. And I know privacy was a big issue on MySpace, where they had, if you were to sign up, you had to be 13 or 14, and your profile was marked private until you reached 18. But there were ways around that, so to speak. And I don't know. I mean, like, any thoughts on this, guys?
That's ridiculous. That's just nuts. You know, that's not even good. I mean, you know, if you're there for, you know, to interact with people in a, you know, friendly, calm way, you shouldn't have, I don't know, it shouldn't just be people on there looking for, you know, shouldn't have people on there stalking other people or sending people threatening messages or this, that, anything. The one thing you mentioned about the dark side of MySpace, the one thing I will say on the light side of it, I watch a lot of crime, not really crime dramas, but like detective shows, mm-hmm. you know, Forensic Files, crap like that. There was a story on one of those shows, it's probably a rerun at this point, a murder happening, this woman committed murder, and her boyfriend at the time actually found out about it through checking, like, he had her MySpace login page. They were boyfriend girlfriend, I guess they share that stuff, but he had her MySpace login, and he was reading all these messages from these other people about, hey, we haven't seen our brother, where is he, something about her ex-husband or something or else. And they actually found out what happened through this guy reporting her to the police. So, I mean, I guess in one instance it was good, but yeah, it's like, wow, it's the internet has just turned into a stalking tool nowadays.
Well, and it's super easy to do.
Well, yeah, because there's such transparency between us and the internet now. I mean, one of the things we can talk about in our next episode is Facebook now has the capability for you to check in to places, just like Foursquare is the application that says, hey, I'm the mayor of, I don't know, 7-Eleven at Main and Broadway or something. And it's weird, though, just because I remember there was a thing a couple years ago where people were like, oh my God, it's going to lead to people robbing your house. Hide your kids. And I remember, I can't remember if I'm remembering this correctly, so if I'm wrong, please forgive me. I think people were using things like MySpace to stalk Lindsay Lohan, and they figured out when she was gone and they robbed her house, but they figured it was like an inside job or something. I vaguely remember this. Does anybody know what the hell I'm talking about?
I remember hearing something about it, but I don't remember what it was all about.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was linked to MySpace and then posting so much information out there. And like you said, it's really easy to get stalked these days. I mean, I myself live a very transparent life online. There are very few things I keep private, my phone number usually being one of them after this summer's incidents. It's weird just how much we want to share on the internet. I mean, we're a culture of narcissists. I mean, I'm guilty of this. I mean, look at my Facebook profile. I got like something like 2,000 friends. So I love the attention. And I think that's what MySpace really tapped into. Hey, are you vain? Yeah. Are you hip? Yeah. Are you good looking? You bet I am. People would just really just put it out there. Plus the fact that we could interact with these celebrities who we thought might be really checking their Facebook profile or their MySpace profiles, mm-hmm. you know, the odds are it's just, you know, their publicist. But it's such a great it was a great tool to allow those who are holier than thou to connect with us, the wee people. But it just never it's something that I think, Steve, you really hit right on the head, how we've made ourselves more open to it, but I think we want the attention.
Now, the funny thing about MySpace, and especially its modern incarnation, like the older one, you had a lot of like weird, goofy ways that they set things up. This new version is so MySpace or so Facebook-like that it's almost sick. They had the live comment type thing that's kind of on the side, the little ticker bar, except it's more like a shout box. Because I still had one for Predacon Empire up until about 3 minutes ago. and it was dated back to like 2006 when I started it. They have the like button, the comment button, the follow. It's a lot cleaner than it used to be, although there's still people with customized crap. they also have, you're going to laugh at this one, they have a Facebook like button at the top of profiles now. So it's pretty sad that they're cross-linking to their competition.
Well, but again, I mean, you know, we'll get to this in the next episode. What competition? I mean, like, I could create a MySpace page right now, and I would just see cobwebs and tumbleweeds going by. I mean, Facebook has blown them out of the water.
But the thing is, some of the MySpace apps are better than the Facebook apps. I mean, you can put music on your profile. You can't do that on Facebook. Now, there were apps early on before they changed all the copyright information there. And I think, according to the Wikipedia article, so take this information with a grain of salt, it says they want to work with Facebook to integrate. They're no longer competing. They want to add to the social networking space, so to speak, to connect people. And what the hell is with my wife? Sorry, she's just making weird noises. Sorry.
Wow.
But anyway, it's our cats. So it's okay. We're fine now. But looking at the MySpace profile right now, I'm just looking at it. They've definitely changed the focus towards entertainment and music. And Facebook does offer that if you're like a fan page or something like that. But I feel that MySpace has a better interactivity because you can get so much interactive content. Whereas Facebook, you're linking to external sources. Like, sure, you can like a video and have music on Facebook, but you have to go to an external site, with the exception of YouTube, which plays the integrated videos or stuff like
that. Now, they are adding an integrated music ability, too, to Facebook.
Oh, that's cool.
And they also have, specifically, the only one that I know, the only one so far that I've found that really takes advantage of this is Stan Bush. But if you have a musician's fan page, you can add a music thing that I'm actually on his page now. He's got stuff where it's just like the MySpace music stuff where you can hit play all or see all, and you can listen to whatever songs he uploads. I mean, I swear to God, it's just like MySpace. It's the same damn thing. So Facebook does have that for musicians. And I think, as Steve said, it's probably coming to everyone else as well. But I don't know how well Facebook is going to work that out because of copyright issues. I mean, you can't have, you know, everyday Joe Schmoes like us uploading a Stan Bush song to your. I mean, I don't know how they're going to work around that.
My imagining is there's probably some kind of a thing on the back end which compares its digital signature. Now, in radio, for example, that's how we track airplays. There's a little digital signal that you can't hear that's embedded in the music, and that's how they track it. Right. So it's potential. I don't know. I mean, you'd be better to ask my co-host Steve Saylor about this. They could have something where if it matches a certain digital signal or matches within a certain degree thereof, they can say, no, you're not uploading that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I know I'm looking at the MySpace band page for the band Pendulum, which did a song I really like called "Propane Nightmare" a couple years ago. The MySpace page that I used to know looks completely different. This looks a lot like a Facebook fan page, actually, almost line for line. It looks pretty much like that. I mean, maybe a few more graphics here and there, but it looks really well laid out now. Now, if MySpace had taken this approach years ago, maybe they'd still be around.
They might have still been in competition.
Yeah, I mean, because this past summer, they were sold to Justin Timberlake for $35 million. That's a far cry. It's already News Corp paid something like 500 and something million for them back in 2000-something.
Wow. That's... no wonder it's gone downhill. It was sold to an N-Suck boy. Lovely.
Hey, I gotta say, I really like Justin Timberlake, man.
Anyways.
Fantastic actor.
Steve, any other thoughts on MySpace?
I pretty much think that it, other than for music and for what's left of the people that are still there that never migrated to my Facebook, which, why the hell didn't they? But, I think that that's pretty much the only reason that it's still around. Other than that, I don't think it's very relevant anymore. because really there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I can't see it making a significant comeback. There's just nothing there to draw people in.
There's nothing there to draw people in because the model of a social network at this point is the model that Facebook uses, and all as MySpace would be doing if they tried to re-innovate themselves is basically just copy Facebook's model.
And even now, Facebook is seeing a decline in new members. So even I wonder if the clock's starting to tick for good old Facebook. Things may be looking grim for them too. But now we have a new competitor in the scene, which I've got a friend of mine who's talked this thing like it's the second coming of Jesus, the Beatles.
And we'll get to that. Yeah. We will get to that after JT does just the facts for Google+.
When it comes to online products, user-friendly websites, and other assorted gadgetry, one need look no further than Google. Google has given us many online applications, such as Gmail, the Google search bar, and the popular Blogger website. But what about social networking? Well, they have tried before with Google Wave, but sadly that app never really caught on. However, you can't keep a good web developer down for long because Google is back with an all-new social network. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Google+. Google Plus was opened to the public on June 28, 2011 in an invite-only beta test format with only a few chosen users at launch. However, the number of users grew rapidly as the initial group had invites to send out and get others to join. Because of the crazy demand for open accounts, this came to an end just 2 months later on September 20th, 2011, when Google Plus was fully open to the public. Users can now log on to their own Google Plus through their regular Google account. Google, already known for its innovative and popular Gmail and Chrome web browser, are now putting its considerable muscle behind Plus. Designed to emulate the hugely popular Facebook and its simplistic style, Google Plus takes the old and mixes it with a little of the new. For example, we now have circles, which allow users to group their contacts together and also allows them to be shared across various Google applications. You can add people to multiple circles at the same time using a drag-and-drop technique. This replaces the Facebook-style friends list that many other social networks have been using. There is also Hangouts, an easy-to-set-up video chat room, and Sparks, which alert users to new topics concerning a particular interest. Eventually, Google Plus will see most of the other Google applications integrated into it once a full version of the site has been fully fleshed out. In such a highly competitive area like social networking, Google Plus has already carved out a little piece of the pie, boasting just over 25 million users as of August 2011. And despite being out for such a short time, Google Plus has already drawn some criticism. Some users are unhappy because at the initial sign-up, when you enter your real name and gender, this info is automatically shared as public information. Google defended this practice, but eventually added the option to privatize your personal information. The other is the design layout. Users have complained of the lack of customization available and the stark and simplistic design of the standard Google Plus page. But, once again, this may change in the future once a more fully developed Google Plus is released. Google Plus has only been with us for a little over 3 months now, and it's too soon to tell if it will be able to dominate social networking the way certain other websites have. But with the programming muscle and accessibility of Google, and the all-too-common human desire for something shiny and new, it wouldn't be too far off to say they may have a chance.
For a social networking thing that just started, thank you again, JT, for that, just the facts on Google+. The only actual way I heard about this was actually through Mike the Fist of Justice Laidman. He's like, I have like a million Google Plus invites. Who wants one? I'm like, what the hell is Google Plus?
Michael Powers sent me one.
Well, I checked it out, and it's basically, when it was in its quote-unquote demo mode, I guess they've taken it public at this point, but when it was in its demo mode, it was basically just a loose version of Facebook is all it was.
I don't see the big deal about Google+. I mean, one of my friends at, I think I was at PAX, PAX East this year. My friend Justin Eacock, who's one of my friends over at Newstalk 1010, had, like I said, had treated Google+ like it was the second coming of Christ, the Beatles, and the return of Crystal Pepsi. It was the most amazing thing to happen to humanity. And I played around with it for 15 minutes. And I know I'm supposed to be the guy who gets social networking and all this shit, you know, Mr. PR. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, actually. I know a couple people from Twitter and from Facebook and stuff like that that have migrated over. They haven't fully migrated over, but they're using it in addition to Facebook and Twitter. And, like, I'm seeing all these posts from these people, and it's like, wow, I just don't get it. I mean, it's like, it's basically almost an ad-free Facebook.
I think what I don't like about it is I'm not super familiar with the interface, and I think that may be why I'm hesitant to migrate over. I mean, I can't be like Leo Laporte, who just deleted his Facebook account, said, if you want to follow me, I'm over here. And there were some other very big tech people who migrated over to Google Plus saying, you know what, if you want to follow me, here I am. I'm not using Facebook again. I don't know whether it's going to have the staying power of Facebook, because it has been, it's a new product and it's entering into a space against a juggernaut. But if you've been on Facebook the last couple of weeks at this point, you know how many people are pissed off
about we'll get to that next episode.
Yeah, but you see Google Plus, it's like they're listening to people. Like they see the faults of Facebook, they see the faults of MySpace. And they're trying to make it look, and supposedly, according to Wikipedia, once again, take this information with a grain of salt, but it is sourced. They're saying that Google Plus may pass Twitter among U.S. adults online. And this was posted at the end of August. They're projecting 13% of U.S. adults have joined Google Plus and projected to have 22% by the end of the year. That's a pretty big thing. I mean, I love Google. I was hesitant to even get a Gmail account up until a couple years ago. Now it is my lifeblood. But I can't see Google Plus catching on unless they streamline the interface.
Yeah. The interface needs to be streamlined. I do like, because it is through Google and it is through, you know, Gmail and the Google, and, you know, I don't know if they're incorporated or LTD or whatever the fuck their initials are for the rest of the company, but their incorporation of, hey, look, if you have a Gmail account, you can also check your Google Plus account. You can do this, you can do that, and that's great. But the layout and the interface, like, I love the fact that there's no ads, but
that'll change.
We probably will once it gets going. But I don't see Google Plus being a Facebook killer, and I don't see Google Plus going. I don't see them being a demise of themselves anytime soon, if that makes any sense. I don't see them on the decline because it is something new. I mean, it's not like, you know, MySpace is in a decline. MySpace is, as we said earlier, it's pretty much dead. I don't think Google would have started this. Well, then again, they did try to do that Google Wave crap. But I don't think they would have started this with the almost Facebook-like layout of the interface. I don't think they would have started this without, you know, some sort of futuristic thing of you know, predicting the future for themselves.
I would equate Google Plus to the Cylons from Battlestar Galactica. They have a plan, and what that plan is going to include, I think they're going to work alongside Facebook, and so I think you're honestly going to see something happen in the next couple of years where they're eventually just going to merge somehow, some way.
Yeah,
because I think Facebook is a very powerful brand, just like Google. It would make sense for them to work together, in my opinion, to create the ultimate social network. I mean, if Facebook and Google were to come together, I think you'd see Twitter on a very sharp decline. I think you just see this harmonious working together, but I just don't think you'll ever see that happen because of the management at Facebook.
Yeah.
But Google Plus, I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic. I just don't see myself using it.
I used it every now and then, like when I first got the invite from Mike Laidman, but I don't post on it whatsoever. I've tried to, like, it says, oh, hey, we have a bulk uploader for photos. I tried using it like 3 different times, and then I eventually just had to individually upload photos. And it's like, if you have a bulk uploader, why doesn't it fucking work correctly? It kept giving me error messages that my photos couldn't be uploaded. And it was like, what the hell? Why do I have to upload these damn things individually every single time? It's freaking stupid.
My guess is that it probably works now, because this thing went open to everybody on September 20th. So it probably works now.
Probably does. Steve, any other thoughts or anything you want to add to Google Plus at all?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that the interface is nice, clean, easy to read. I like that it's got some of what I liked that was in early Facebook, or at least within the last, I don't know, about 2 years ago. It's a lot more enjoyable of an interface, although I don't still understand why we have to have these circles. Why can't we just, you know, cluster everybody in one big fucking pile? But
well, circles are almost like lists.
They are, but they aren't. It's, I don't know, it's more of an annoying thing to me, because then I get notifications every damn time I log in, for one.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the same thing with lists on Facebook now. I get notifications from 3 different lists, and half the time the lists have the same damn people in them. The thing about Google Plus's circles, actually Mike Laidman pointed this out at one point. I forget what the hell we were talking about, but say you're a comic book artist. Say, you know, you have 2 sets of fans. You have fans that are just now finding you and longtime fans. If you put the longtime fans in the circle of only new comics and the new fans in the circle of, hey, this is my comic, check it out from issue 1, the longtime fans aren't going to, you know, have to read every issue from the beginning. So I guess it's okay in that sense. I don't know.
I don't know. See, to me, I like in the fact that Facebook, I can hide people. Like, I want them as friends so that I can contact them easily if I need to, but I may not want to see every damn post that they have. And granted, I don't want to have to switch streams based on what circle it is. I don't really care to do that. And as far as, like, and I'll get into the Facebook crap later, but the whole list thing, it, to me, is just a useless thing. But, I mean, I can see the purpose for other people. I don't have a need for it.
Have the time to sit there and customize it.
No, yeah. I just want to add people, chat with them, and share my crap, and then just be done with it. I don't want to sit there all day like you used to have to do with, like, MySpace and like you have to do currently with Google Plus. It's just a mess. And I've been kind of, like, I signed up for an account just so that I had one, but it was more so to explore it and see if I would actually like it. And it's still not enough to push me from moving from Facebook over to Google Plus.
I think the framework is there for something really powerful. Like my friend Justin Eacock has said, because you can customize what content you want to share with who, for people like us in the media and me across like 10 different things I do content for, it's really nice that I can share what I want with who I want. The problem is, though, like Steve just said, it's customizing it, taking the time to sit there. Okay, I want you over here, you over here, you over here, because you have so many people subscribing to you and following you. It's going to take you a good little while. And yes, I know it's a drag and drop interface, but we are the society of I want it and I want it now.
Yep.
I don't have the time. And I know that sounds so weak and so defeatist, but I really don't. I mean, with Facebook, awesome. Welcome to my Facebook page. Let's talk, party on. And that's it. With Google Plus, what circle do you want this guy in? What content do you want to share? Now, the one thing I think that Google Plus has over any other social network, and this, it's such a minor thing. I can edit my post after I do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up earlier. It's like, yeah. Facebook should have had that from the fucking beginning when they went public.
Well, in Facebook, you have to copy your post, delete it, and then retype what you want in there.
And it's crazy. You know what it is? It's a fucking line of code.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's something simple that they could fix, and they just choose not to.
I really do wonder if it's a patent issue. Like, they may not be able to do it because Google Plus may hold the patent on this. And that's why they can't.
I don't think so.
I don't think they can hold a patent on being able to edit, because if that were true, no bulletin board system would be able to do it. No,
it may be in how they phrase it. Like, it might say on a social networking platform, the ability to edit a post after it is made within this certain system. It could be just tricky wording. It's possible, not likely, but you never know, because we live in the age of fucking people over.
To me, I think that Facebook may address that in their future incarnation, which, again, we'll get into the next episode with their timelines thing, just because it seems like they're kind of testing the waters right now. Whereas, like, Facebook's trying to get some of the things, or not Facebook, Google Plus is trying to get some of the things right off the get-go to try and say, you know, hey, look, these are some of our perks. You know, more is coming as time goes on, but, you know, this is just what we've got going on that Facebook doesn't have. So, haha.
One of the things I really like about Google Plus, and this would be awesome for me because I do so many streams where I interact with my fans on a weekly basis, is the Hangouts idea. That's really cool. And they're supposed to have like this really big Hangout. It may have already happened with like Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas or something. Mm-hmm. And just to be able to hang out with people with video and voice and everything. That's cool. Now, I know they have Skype integrated with Facebook. I am not touching that. I don't like that idea at all. And just
No, that's too much.
Bad touch. But with Google Plus, I don't know. There's something about that. There's something there. There's a real potential to do some really cool shit, especially in the video game industry in which I work. If you could premiere a new trailer on Google Plus and have people hang out and talking with you, giving you live feedback at the same time, that's such a kick-ass marketing tool. You know your demographic. You have access to all their information because you're connected to them. And that's another thing where Google Plus, I think they've gotten into some trouble over privacy and the information that you have to give there. It's a wonderful marketing tool, and Google is the master of getting information from you.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially because they archive everything that's ever posted on the net. But another thing that I think that they may end up doing is think about it with the Hangouts, with having your live webcam and everything. You could be holding a live show there, and then right afterwards you could publish it to YouTube, being that it's all interconnected within Google.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's a really good idea.
That's an awesome idea.
I mean, because if they did that, it would cut the time out of having to sit there, edit the damn thing, upload it. Whereas you could probably, I mean, they already have some basic editing tools on there. All they have to do is add a few extra features, and you could cut, like, parts of it out and resegment it right there with them holding all the video files right off the bat, and then you could just throw it right on YouTube right away. No sitting there for an hour and a half to 5 hours sitting there waiting to upload it.
Yeah. I mean, because Google definitely has the processing power. I mean, they've got server farms that make the NSA stuff look small. You could have like an iMovie-like editor where you could just edit the video online, not necessarily in real time or something like that, but you could potentially, I mean, the potential for Google Plus is huge. If they take advantage of it now and listen to the community feedback, they listen to big tech journalists like Leo Laporte, Kim Komando, and other big people, There's a lot of coolness here. There really is. I don't think it's cool enough for me yet. And I'm not saying that because I have an ego. I'm saying that because, like most people my age now, I fear change.
Oh, I do too.
You're only turning 30 this year, for Christ's sake.
Well, I'm 25, but I like familiarity. I don't like Facebook is constantly changing every other week.
Yeah, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, so I mean, it's more of a, I like the comfort. This is my comfort zone. I like things to stay the same, so it's kind of hard to jump ship. And with Google Plus, I think if they could master everything that they're hearing people talk about, and I mean, hell, I've been thinking about eventually getting to doing a webcam show to some extent, not like full blown weekly, but I don't know how I would go about it. But I mean, if they were to do that, I would be more apt to do it because I have no video editing skills whatsoever. I can sit there and I can do audio all day long, but the video, that just boggles my mind.
Yeah. Google Plus is kind of a wait and see to see what they do. I know Mike mentioned earlier about, you know, Facebook has really, really weird management structure, but I think it would be awesome if Google Plus and Facebook and Google in general.
Facebook Plus.
Mashed together. Yeah, there you go.
Now, here's a question. When it comes to looking at some of these social networking services, and I guess, I mean, would you be willing to pay for something like this?
No.
No. Because there's so many out there that you can do for free, why would you? I mean, you have...
pay for more features?
No.
Well, for one, I'm a cheap bastard, so anybody that knows me will know that I'm not going to pay for a thing that I could go do on my own site. I can just tell people, you know, go here, that's it, you know. But, yeah. For instance, like, and I know this is slightly not in there, but LinkedIn... That's another kind of network for jobs, but it's a huge one that's, you know, that everybody's kind of joining all at different times, but they have, you know, basic accounts plus paid accounts. You can do a lot of it with the basic account, but you can't, you know, do full profile checking or full interactions unless you pay.
Yeah, there's a big door in the way for you to use it, but if you're smart, you can get around it, but not fully. You can stick your foot in the door, but you're not getting anything more than your arm in.
No.
I mean, I think with some of these social networks, the only one I'd be willing to pay for is Facebook, but I don't think I'd see many people follow suit because a lot of people are like you. There's so many different options out there. I think for Facebook, I like the community that at least that I've built around myself. I mean, looking at my Facebook profile right now, for example, I'm up to 1,700 people plus. Yeah. On Google Plus, I think I'm maybe 100 something. I should really get around to fixing that before that number grows to like 1,000. Mm-hmm. Or MySpace, the most I ever had was, I think, maybe 1,200, maybe. And it never felt personal. There was something about. And when you think about it, when you really compare Facebook and MySpace, you see how similar they really are. And Google Plus seems to be pioneering something new.
Yeah.
In a sense. I mean, like I said, it's exciting times to live in when it comes to seeing how this social networking evolves, how all this technological primordial soup is now coming to a head. We've already seen it evolve into MySpace. We're now seeing it evolve into Google Plus. Mm-hmm. I guess what's the next step? I think Steve hit it right on the head. Facebook Plus.
Yep. And on that note, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time when we'll be talking about part two of the social networking spotlight when it's almost going to be a face-off between Facebook and Twitter. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
How'd you know that I like Indian food?
Oh, yeah.
Google, we know what you're searching for.
You do? Well, this isn't what it looks like.
We know what you're writing in your emails.
What? No, this is private stuff here. Hey, Dad, I need to borrow some money for, medicine and,
And with Google Voice, we now know every word you say to your friends and family.
What? Seriously? Why?
So we can serve advertisements specifically targeted to your lifestyle.
Oh, I am so not comfortable with anyone knowing this.
Now we're taking it to the next level with the Google Toilet.
Oh, no. You gotta be kidding me.
Our data mining technology can literally sift through your shit to deliver the ultimate targeted ads.
Indian food? How'd you know that I like Indian food?
Oh, yeah.
And it automatically updates your Facebook page with your toxicology report.
Are you nuts? I don't want anyone to know that! What's going on here?
Too bad. Hey! Now all your crap is cataloged information that can be bought and sold.
Information? This is my life! My private life!
Hey, you registered for a free toilet, pal. Now take another shit so I can tell you where to shop.
No, this is out of control! How can I trust you with so much power?
Relax. We're just Google. What's the worst that could happen?
Daryl Nash of 14 Brooks Avenue. The United States government is not cool with the way you're living your life.
You, sir, are a freak.
Yeah, something doesn't smell right about this guy.
What are we waiting for? Let's take this guy to Gitmo.
Sorry, dude. They Googled you. Nothing I could do to stop them.
What happened to our privacy? What happened to the Bill of Rights? Huh? What happened to living in a free country?
Google, we're way up your ass.
Just listen to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.